Hello, beautiful human. I'm Zach. That's Danny. Welcome to the studio.
Troy Sivan.
Hey.
This could be on the record. I like these conversations.
Yeah, I was surprised at how open you were about it, considering it's been 3 weeks.
Troy's referencing a TikTok that he saw of me announcing that I have a boyfriend.
And they've known each other for like 15 days. But I'm obsessed with that. I'm really happy for you. I think that's awesome. It's just bold, you know?
It is incredibly bold.
Yeah.
It is, yeah, but I don't know. It feels so right. And we align in so many different ways. And
do you believe in love at first sight?
Now
that you've experienced this?
I've gotten to really know him, and then every day I fall more deeply in love with him. But to say that I felt madly in love the first second I saw him, I mean, within the first night, like, I really started to acquire strong feelings for him. So maybe not instantly.
But is that good? The first night? Wow.
No, we didn't hook up for the first night, nor did we kiss or anything. Like,
really?
Yeah, it wasn't until a few days in. We spent all those days together.
A few days?
Yeah, like maybe two or three.
Wow.
So a couple.
Wow. I'm like taking notes. That's so awesome.
Are you? I would take notes from you. You
why?
I don't know. I feel like you're out there. I mean, to be honest, you have some, I don't know. You go end up on dates with cousins and
like what?
People who bring. Not my cousin.
No, I know. People who bring plus ones.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucked. I don't even know how you get into that situation.
Yeah, I don't know how that one happened. That was one of the worst for sure. But I mean, he was lovely. His cousin was cool. But I just didn't really know why she was there.
She's a fan.
Right, maybe.
Did she ask for a photo?
No. It was just hilarious because she was so chatty and he was so quiet. So I really ended up like hanging out with her for the night. Yeah. And my friend was there at the bar and I had gone to go, you know, say hi to her. And I was like, I think I'm on a date with a guy and his cousin at the same time. And she was just like dying laughing. And then across the bar, she could see us. And I would just kind of like shoot her a look every now and then. And we were just like cracking up at the situation.
But you stayed with it. You committed to it.
Well, yeah. Also, like, it was kind of fun. I was like, you know, I think the thing about dating that's really freeing is that even a bad date is, I think, really fun and hilarious, you know?
It's a story.
And I love, like, you know, such a huge part of the basis of all of my friendships is all my friends are really good storytellers. And so for me, the FaceTime call after a date, whether it's them that's been on a date or me or whatever, is always so fun because I just like love the goss, you know? And we dramatize things and, like, you know, exaggerate how things really happened and just try and make it like it essentially becomes like a podcast or something, or like a stand-up routine, you know? And so I'm always, you know, I enjoy collecting those stories.
But is there a part of you that does long for that conversation to happen once again where you call them and you're like, oh, this date was actually pretty good and I think I have something here?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I do that too. That's part of the over-dramatization. I mean, I literally just said 10 minutes ago, I was like, I think I met my husband like 2 days ago.
Really?
I mean, not really, but like,
but why do you say not really? Are you stopping yourself from the potential of what could be? Like, why is it wrong to embrace that thought or idea or that notion?
No, I mean, first of all, I think it's probably just like self-preservation and protection. You know what I mean? You don't want to get too excited about stuff. But also genuinely, I don't know if this is maybe a sad thing, but like I really don't crush very often. Like genuine crush. You know what I mean? I like, I'll like have fun or be excited or whatever about someone, but like, a real, real, real crush happens very rarely for me.
Is there a through line between all the people you've had crushes on?
Yeah, I think there is. And
what is it?
It's not, the funny thing is that it's not, like the through line of the people that I crush on is different from the through line of people that I've like had a fun time with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think when I really think about the people that I've crushed on, there's a few kind of commonalities where it's like, I think being creative is really important to me, even if it's not like, you know, I'm not trying to like date another artist or anything like that. As long as they kind of can appreciate the same stuff that I do, or, you know, like see value in it, then that's cool. And then I think the biggest one has got to be sense of humor. I was really, really, really spoiled in my last relationship because like we would make each other die laughing all the time. And so I think now my standards for that are really, really high, where I'm like, I have really funny friends and I really enjoy speaking to them. So it's like, for me to be excited about talking to someone,
you got to compete.
You got to compete, yeah. Or just like contribute and add to it. You know what I mean?
Where did you meet this potential husband? What makes him so
special? I don't want to say, because I don't want to freak him out. I met him for like 15 minutes, you know? Yeah. So yeah, I don't want to say.
Hey, beautiful human, pardon my interruption. I don't want to be that person that, you know, talks about my boyfriend all the time, but I'm going to do it one more time because we love doing this thing. We love making food together.
Cooking.
Yeah. Well, we can't like really cook, but we can cook using HelloFresh.
Yeah.
Because they make it so easy that even I can do it with the help of my boyfriend. But it is really great. Plus, it saves us money. HelloFresh is like 25% cheaper than takeout.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, they got 40 options and they have a fall menu right now that is just chef's kiss. And again, picture by picture instructions come with literally everything you need to make an absolutely delicious meal. They do all the shopping for you, all the portioning for you, and literally it's all right there, picture by picture. And it only takes like 15 minutes to make, so it's super quick and easy. HelloFresh. If you want to save 50% off and get free shipping, just use our code when you're checking out. It is 50 Zach Sang, or go to HelloFresh.com/50.
Zach Sang.
That is HelloFresh.com/50ZachSang. 40 fall recipes waiting for you. Try it out. Let me know what your favorite one is, okay?
Yum.
Thanks. Happy eating. You may be the type of person who falls in love and then moves in with somebody instantly. You have that potential.
I can imagine that.
See it in you.
Yeah. I think if I felt that something was right, I wouldn't be scared. I would like throw myself at it, you know.
But what about this guy said, oh, it could be.
Humor.
Humor. That was it.
Yeah, I think so.
Damn.
Yeah, I was like laughing a lot.
You're open to love.
Definitely, yeah. I think, honestly, I've always been really suspicious of people who are like, work is really busy, like I'm too busy or whatever, you know? But genuinely, for the last couple of months, I have felt too busy. You know, just like, it's a lot of first dates and then leaving the city. Yeah. So it's like, okay, well, maybe once things calm down a little bit for, you know, in like work-wise, then I'll be a little bit more serious about it, I think. But for the moment, I'm like, okay, there's not really any point.
Are you someone who will go to a new city and just meet up with randoms?
We got to listen to Honey. I see love in every space, sex in every city or town.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. But it's just like different kinds of love. I think in the long term, you know, because I don't crush a lot, it takes a second for me to like, you know, get to know someone and let feelings develop. And if you're not around to let that happen, how's that going to happen, you know? But I still see the value in all of the other interactions. So like, yeah, sometimes I'll like go on a date in a random city that I know that I'm not going to like live in, because I'm like, oh, you never know, you know, like, let's see what happens kind of vibe. It's fun.
That connects obviously also to what's the time where you are. Good old long distance relationship.
Yeah.
So obviously busy because you're in the cycle, but I also think there's something to living someone authentically where this album is done during a phase of life where it wasn't that you were looking for love. You were just looking to have fun. Is that correct? And live
correct.
Free and embrace yourself in ways that you hadn't before.
Yeah. And also, you know, it was written, there was travel and trips and stuff like that, but I was in LA really solidly for a long time because we were filming. And then I was also in Melbourne for really solid periods of time. And so there was time for those little like situationship or whatever's to like flourish. And so there was moments of that. There was moments of being in somewhere for a week and getting to know someone across that week and having a good time in that week. It's basically like the album, I would say, is 10 sort of stories from that chapter of my life. And so it does kind of like vary. Some of them were quite serious. Some of them were not at all. And I just like saw such beauty in all of them. And I was really inspired by all of them. And like, they've all kind of contributed to my life in some way.
That's interesting. Like most people, like, you know, they don't see like one night stands or tiny little situationships as like very impactful things. But the reality is they are. And like,
totally,
for what they are, it's a moment in time that you're sharing with this other human being.
I think that's something that's really cool about queer people as well. Like I have had hookups with people where afterwards, like, we say thank you to each other, because it's like, you know, I just met you, you just met me, but we both came to this knowing exactly what we want. We communicated really effectively before about what we were trying to get out of this experience. And you gave that to me and I gave that to you. And that was so fun. Thank you so much. And it almost feels like I think that like having to break down the barriers when you're a young queer person, you know, you're like, okay, I am not like fitting this heteronormative, you know, lifestyle that most of the world experiences. So all of the rules kind of go out of the window, and that's really, really, really scary. And then on the other side of it is this kind of like freedom where you're like, oh, the rules don't apply to me.
Rewrite them.
So I can kind of make this whatever I want it to be. As long as there's like communication between both parties, I think that there's something like really, I think there's something to be learnt from those experiences for everyone. And I wish that everyone can kind of have that experience, and they can. It's just like, you know, there's like not the same kind of societal, you know, pressures, I guess, on like my straight girlfriends. Sometimes I'll tell them a story about like something that I got up to, and they're like, damn, I wish I could just like do that. And I'm like, oh, you can, you know, it's just like, you know, you've been brought up to like not feel like that's okay for you to find someone who wants the same thing that you do. That, you know, might be super, super casual. It might not be, you never know, but like, but you should be able to like explore that without guilt or without shame or, you know?
And I do think that's something that exists within the queer community. And by the way, I also think like, you know, exploration and learning it's like, there's a different learning curve if you're a queer person, I think. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I do think so, you know? And
yeah.
The only way to learn is by like forming relationships again, whether that's a night relationship or a extremely casual situationship or what have you. You need to be able to form those things. And I have a lot of friends that like, yes, like Grindr exists for a fucking reason. There's no real male heterosexual equivalent to that. If you think about it,
mm-hmm.
Right? Tinder is the closest thing.
Yeah. Maybe the closest thing,
but like, you know, Grindr is you just, yeah.
Yeah. And I think like, of course, you know, it's a different type of encounter with someone, and it's not always gonna scratch the itch that you might have. You know, if you're searching for something other than something, you know, quick or whatever, maybe it's not the moment to use that. And I think that's why people can kind of get a little down about like hookup culture or whatever, is maybe they're seeking something deeper. But then there's like the inherent issue is that you're not coming to it knowing what you're getting yourself
you're
into.
You're not communicating before.
You're not communicating with yourself or with the other person about what you really want, you know, and that can of course leave you feeling really empty and whatever. But I was just in a phase where I was really, really enjoying all of that and really being open about what I wanted. And I was like getting it, you know, so it was good.
Sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. At what stage in this lifestyle that you've adapted, do you realize that there's an album in the stories that you're collecting, or that there's even like a need or desire to start documenting the stories you acquire from these tiny, mostly fleeting relationships?
Well, so it wasn't like a concept album or anything like that. Like, it wasn't like I had the experience and then I was like, ooh, I'm gonna write the album about all these little experiences or whatever. I was just sort of documenting the whole way through. You know, I wrote through my breakup, and then there's two songs on the album that are very much so from that time as well. And then it just kind of naturally happened that was what I was going through in life, and I just kept writing through it. And then when you zoom out and look at the big picture of the album, it really is more about that chapter of like freedom and exploration and everything like that. And I just kind of, you know, one of my favorite things to do is like speak to people who are going through a big breakup and try and, you know, help them to realize all of the hope and the potential and the excitement that can come from that moment. You know, it's like, it sucks. Breakups, they always, always, always suck. Like, they're just awful. And as you kind of move through that, I think then there's always this moment where a switch flicks a little bit and you're like, oh, but okay, I'm alone and I need to look after myself, but I can do that. And you start to kind of like build your confidence ever so slightly, little by little, where you realize that you being there for yourself is enough, you know, and like that you can actually do it and that you're going to be okay. And then once you start to accept that, the whole world is like, you're like, oh damn, there's 7 billion people in the world, you know? And like, if you're lucky enough to travel, that is so fun to meet new people from all around the world, and whether it's just friends or something romantic or something sexual, whatever, you know, there's just so much possibility. It's really a moment of possibility, and I think that's really exciting. And so I think, you know, my hope is that people can listen to this album and, like I said, there is these really introspective, like vulnerable moments talking about the past and reminiscing on the past, because that's 100% still a very real thing of, you know, this experience is like, you don't forget or anything like that. It's not like you just are all of a sudden over it, you know, it's kind of, it's something that you'll carry with you for the rest of your life. But also there's all this possibility, you know?
And that's like, but it's hard to see, right? And it takes you a while to get through the fucking woods.
But I hope that when people listen to the album, it's almost like we're having that conversation where they can see me go through it. You know what I mean? They can hear the songs from before, and they can hear the songs from during. And it kind of, the album sort of ends open-ended a little bit. And there's no like resolution to the story. It's not like I've met, you know, the love of my life that I'm now settled down with, and it was just like a phase.
I did notice that there was like, there was no like real happy ending. It was just more of this like figuring out how to lock this in for as long as you can for whatever it means.
Yeah. And in my head, it is a happy ending because it really is the realization of like how beautiful human connection is. And that's what you need. You know what I mean? Of course, it's going to be nice when that connection looks like a long-term relationship. That's what ultimately like something that I really want for myself. But in the meantime, I am like traveling and I'm obsessed with people and, you know, just like all forms of connection. I'm obsessed with my friends. I'm obsessed with the person that I'm dancing with on the dance floor in Bangkok. I'm obsessed with, you know, like it's just, I'm good. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Slay.
Healthy. Yeah. Slay. Mama boots. Yeah. Good shit.
Right.
Damn. That's a good life.
It is a good life, yeah.
That's interesting. Not a life I'd ever fucking live, but yeah, that's crazy.
You're like a partner person?
I don't know. I mean, to be honest, like, before I got into this new relationship, I got out of one.
Yeah.
And whatever that was, it was a very intense, deep situationship, so it wasn't like a real relationship, but very much gave husband energy, you know? Lived together, slept together for like, the whole thing was a lot. So got rid of that. And then into something else that was a little crazy. Maybe I am a partner person. But the other thing too is I'm like a little, I've been like a little delayed in understanding and knowledge and a little socially stunted. So I'm catching up, you know, I'm figuring things out, learning, understanding.
Right.
And that's in all ways, you know, and now that I have an actual boyfriend, I've done that. And
well, it's weird
I'm
as well because
I'm getting great at everything.
Like, for example, I feel like I'm a partner person, you know, I'm like looking for a long-term thing. I guess that's like sort of the goal, I guess. But the difference is like really what the album is about is two things can be true at once. Like I'm a partner person who's also just like in love with my life and myself and my friends and the people that I'm meeting, like, you know, along the way kind of thing. So I guess, that's really the thing is like, there's just no rush.
And that's nice.
There
is something to like, and the one thing I am learning is like every person you love or deeply love or have a deep relationship with, you know, they do teach you a fuck ton of things. And like, even as I like have been going through just talking with the person I was with last time and essentially going our separate ways, you know, that's like the biggest realization is like the good that we've done for each other and the help and the growth. And it's hard. The whole thing's fucking hard. And
totally.
Sad.
Yeah. I remember I went on this one date with this guy who it was one of my, so I try to date really efficiently, right? So like, I'm like, I'll make sure that I.
The fuck?
It's just like because like, you know.
Well, is that really the right energy we should approach in love with?
No, but.
Efficiency?
Okay. So. The thing that makes it efficient is that if it's not going well, you can get out. Okay. But if it is going well, you can
stay in
and keep going. Got right. It. So there's always like a, you know, if you meet someone and within like 10 minutes, you know that it's not a vibe, you sort of, it's like a 5 p.m. drink, let's say. Mm. Right. So it's early and you just very casually, you're like, oh yeah, I'm getting dinner with my friends later, but blah, blah, blah. And then you've got an out
at
like later. 7. So it's like a 2-hour thing and it's so chill. And if it's going well, you obviously just don't say that. And so I did this like 5 p.m. drink that was supposed to be like an hour or something like that, because I genuinely did have something later that night. But I was just obsessed with this guy and we were having so much fun, and he ended up I genuinely did have a meet up with my friends. So he came with, and we ended up at this like house party together, him and all of my friends. He was making my friends laugh, which to me is like, that's the hottest thing in the world. Like, I was literally obsessed. And I don't know, it was just this crazy experience where like I felt, so I definitely like have anxiety and little quirks and things like that, and things can kind of send me a little bit. And somehow, maybe it was really obvious, but he saw this moment where I was like feeling quite anxious about something, and I have like little tics, like I'll sort of like rub my chest or whatever, like I've got little like things that I do, and he saw them and he was like, are you okay? And like kind of had pulled me aside, and I had met him 2 hours prior, you know, and I just felt so connected and like safe with this person that I had just met. And I was learning so much from him in this like very, very, very short period of time. And we ended up spending the night together, spending the next morning together and everything like that. And then I left. So it didn't like, you know, progress further. But even if I think, even if I had stayed, I don't know that it was like right for a long-term thing.
Why do you say that?
I kind of just could feel that it wasn't that vibe, but it was a different vibe, and that's also beautiful and also okay. You know,
a vibe originating from what? Dictated by what?
Well, I don't want to put him on blast and be like, well, there was this and there
was
that.
Were you giving it, or is he giving it that energy of like not, you know, not lasting?
I think we both kind of knew, like we did hang out like maybe 2 or 3 more times after that. And it was just really sweet and nice. And like, I feel really connected to him still, even though we don't, you know, speak or whatever. It was like just a learning moment, you know, one of the many examples of how immediate it can be with someone, where you really feel like seen by them, and how easy the integration can be with like your friends and everything like that. And it was just awesome. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess I just told that story because it's like an example of one of these kind of brief connections that can really like leave a lasting impact.
See, like if I feel seen and understood by somebody, I'm like, move in.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. Yeah.
You judging me?
No, I really am in like, awe, like as in I'm learning from you right now, oh, for sure. No, I am. Dead ass.
Okay, cool. I believe you.
Yeah.
I've known Trey Sivan a long time. Do you remember the first time you ever did my show? You don't. You do even remember the last time you did the show, which was like a year and a half, 2 years ago. When was it?
No, I'm trying to think.
I'll tell you the story.
Yeah.
You were in Australia. It was over the phone.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
You were starring as young Wolverine in the X-Men movie. And you did a phone interview with me when I was still doing my radio show from my bedroom. And we lost connection in the middle of it. And I had to run from my bedroom down to my parents' like office to try to reconnect. Like a fucking laundry room. And, yeah.
Do you know what year that was? 2009.
Yeah, 2009. 2000, probably, that was probably a fall movie. So it couldn't, 2009. Couldn't have been, it could be earlier too, but couldn't be later than 2009.
No, I remember it came out in 2009. So that would have been 2009, but.
Yeah, whenever that was.
That's insane.
That was the first time we ever talked.
That's really, really crazy.
Yeah, pretty fucking wild. Yeah. That's what, like, what is that, 16 years ago?
I mean, I'm not.
Someone will do the math.
Yeah, sorry. I was homeschooled.
Yeah. Understood. But, you know, I don't know. Love is weird, dude. Love is very weird, and figuring it out. I'm in love right now, so let's see where it goes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
When was the last time you were in love before that? Like, how long has it?
I don't.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, I was in love with the last person I was
like, right.
in a situationship with, yeah.
Damn, so you just, like, love all the time?
No. The last person I was in a situationship with, we were friends for a while, and I, like, gave them most of my focus and time for maybe, I don't know, they moved here a year ago, October, so it may have been, like, 2 years by then. You know, wow. They just, yeah.
Yeah, being totally vulnerable, I feel like sometimes I do wonder if I've lost the ability to like progress something further than these interactions that I'm talking about.
And that's my fear.
Right.
Is that you're like so drowning in this.
No, but I think my hope is that when it's right, it'll just be like so obvious and like easy. And I just don't think I've had that.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
The last person I was in love with, not easy.
Yeah.
Parts were really easy.
Yeah.
The person I'm with now, it's very easy.
Yeah. Like I kind of am just holding out hope that when it does happen, I'm going to be like, oh, of course, this is it. Like, this is what's supposed to, this feels right, you know? And I don't think I've had that. So I don't like beat myself up about it, but I am like the thought of, for example, sharing my bedroom with someone now,
yeah,
that feels wild.
Because it's your space.
Like maybe I am a little bit more closed off to than I think I am. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, it's just been a long time now where I've like loved having my own bedroom. That's like just mine, you know?
I get it. In the opposite.
Right.
I was with somebody and we shared a bed and a bedroom for every day. Like yeah, spent every waking, sleeping moment together for like a year. And then, then I was like itching for somebody to, like, you know.
Mm.
Which maybe I'm diagnosing myself right now, so I should stop talking.
Yeah, I think it's probably like a muscle that you need to exercise to keep active. You know what I mean? The ability to like let someone in fully.
This is true because I think it's also been really I think I've trained myself to not be vulnerable around people I don't know, and I think the act of feeling safe enough to be vulnerable and open and share is something I don't do often. Like it's a rare thing.
Mm.
So. I don't know. It's very, love is weird. Love is weird because if it's real and you feel it and it's easy as fuck, like you then feel comfortable enough to just share everything and be open and whatever. And then if you do that too quickly and then you choose to hold one thing back and cause an issue and dealing with, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
No, I hear you.
No, you don't.
No, I do. I do, yeah.
You swear to God?
Yeah, I swear. I just don't have really anything to say back.
That's good. That's fine. So what's it like hooking up with a straight man? That's what one of your girls is about, yeah?
Yeah.
It's gnarly.
Have you heard the song?
Oh, yeah. We have.
You have the whole album. Got it. Yeah, that song is probably my favorite song on the album.
Really?
Yeah, I really, really love that song.
Why?
Don't act so surprised. Now you're making me second guess myself.
No, I'm just...
You're like, really? That's your favorite song?
Why is that story the one that resonates the deepest?
I think because of a couple of things. First of all, I really like the song. I just think it's like, if I may say so, I think it's like well written. I think it's interesting. I think the production is amazing and whatever. So
the story's really good and the lyrics are fucking great.
Thank you. But no, it was just this thing that it was this recurring thing that sort of has happened multiple times, right? Where I am sort of like reached out to, or, you know, there's a straight guy who's like entertaining me for some reason, right? And always like, you know, I always pretty explicitly, like, you know, I've had people straight up say like, oh yeah, I'm like down to explore or whatever. But then, and I always thought it was really hot, and I was like, I sort of started to go into my own head and I'm like, wait, why is that hot? Like, is this internalized homophobia where I'm like, this person 100% like would have scared me in high school. And now they're showing me attention. Is that what I'm like feeling and responding to?
Mm.
You know, like why is this such a fantasy kind of thing? And then when I followed through with it the few times, there was this sort of like empty feeling afterwards with these particular guys because there was sort of a limit to what it could be, because in the end of the day,
they had a girlfriend to go home to.
Well, they didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't cheat.
Whatever. They believed that they were straight.
Right, right. And so, you know, you end up kind of, I felt as though it was like you would do all this talking and then do whatever. And then it's still like, but whoa, bro, like I'm not gay. And I'm like, okay, girl, like whatever. Just, you know, that's fine. And so, yeah, I think it just like left me feeling a little bit empty a lot of the time. And then also there's other people that I've been with where I've been the first guy that they've been with. And they were totally open and surprised me completely. And like, just really evolved and self-assured and like confident in who they were. And they were like, no, if I was to fall in love with you right now, that would be totally fine, kind of thing. So I don't know, whatever. I didn't really have like a firm opinion on it. I just knew the way that I felt. And I started writing this song, and it was like, it really started with this one guy who, he had told me that sometimes when he's like, you know, when it's late at night and he's been partying or whatever, he really wants to hook up with a guy. And so I said to him,
it's not a straight man.
Well, you tell him that. I'm not going to say that. But but I said to him, I was like, okay, well, let me know if you're feeling gay on Saturday night, like at any point. And we were just like joking around and whatever. And he's like a friend. And then I went into the studio and I had recorded, I have the voice memo somewhere of me in the shower that morning, stepping out of the shower. And I had the lyric and it was like, give me a call if you ever get lonely. I'll be like one of your girls or your homies.
Yeah.
And it's like, it'll be chill. Like, I'll just be like one of your girls that you normally hook up with, or like one of your friends who like also kind of wants to suck your dick. Like, you know, it'll be chill kind of vibe. And I just thought it was funny. And then we ended up writing the rest of the chorus, and it switches and it says, give me a call if you ever get desperate. I'll be like one of your girls. Which I think really summarized the way that I ended up feeling about myself afterwards, which is that like, you're this experiment or this like last resort of like, if you don't find a girl to hook up with, like secretly call your like gay friend Troy and he'll come over and do it for you. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it didn't leave me feeling really good a lot of the time.
It shouldn't. It's a fucked up thing. It's something incredibly common. I think more straight men or people, straight men who believe that they're straight genuinely, like, have no fucking problem using queer men at their discretion for whatever purpose they do.
Well, the annoying thing was as well is that sometimes it literally just felt like an ego stroke where like, I'm going to flirt with you and like, you know, and then immediately like pull the rug out from under your feet. As soon as I start showing interest or like vulnerability in that situation, it was like, whoa, like slow down. And so that was not fun.
So I used to have this straight guy who would call me to hook up every time he'd end up like breaking up with one of the girls he was hooking up with.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing ended up starting because he made out with, gave me in public, like started fucking making out with me, giving me fucking hickeys, and like there's a fucking video of it somewhere on the internet. Fucking embarrassing. And
I'm gonna watch that later.
One of the reasons, you ready for this? Fucked up. The reason why he wanted to start hooking up with me was because he would watch our interviews in bed with his ex after they'd fuck. And it was a part of something that he just needed to accomplish. And he saw me out and he did it. And then he kept wanting to hook up after that, but only after he'd end relationships with chicks.
Sorry, I'm stuck on the point before.
Oh yeah, interesting, right?
Watching the interviews.
Yeah, but who the fuck tells you that? Like, he told me that after while he was telling me he was straight.
Wait, so he'd hook up with his girlfriend then watch the interviews?
Yeah, yes. Or like, yeah, Jericho. I don't know. Dude, oh. I get some weird shit.
Oh.
Weird shit. Is everybody okay?
That's just, I'm like mind blown.
Oh, dude, the other day I had some crazy muscle guy come up to me with his wife and tell me that he masturbates to my voice. Swear to God, did it in front of my boyfriend. Swear to God.
Where was the wife?
Next, he literally, the wife's behind him claiming that he's straight. Swear to fuck.
Is that a compliment or not?
I don't, yeah, it's not the first time people have told me they masturbate to my voice.
I'm now trying to like close my eyes often. And just hear the voice and see if.
Yeah, you want to like, how you feeling?
I don't feel anything.
Yeah, okay, I'll turn it up a little bit louder for you. There's relax.
Nothing going on, unfortunately, for me.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Maybe next time. Maybe in another life.
Yeah. But no, I also think the one of the things about it as well was that I felt complicated about the situation because I'm also like really sex positive and I'm like, mm-hmm. everyone should be able to explore and like, how do you know if you don't explore and everything like that? But I just think the issue is the communication side of it and like the vulnerability side of it. And, you know, if someone comes to me and they're like, look, I don't know if I'm going to enjoy this or not, but I'm curious to try. And I think you're really hot and cool or whatever. Like, I would be so open to having that conversation and really appreciate the vulnerability there. And then if afterwards or during or whatever, they were like, you know what, this actually isn't for me, I would be like, I completely understand. And like, thank you for trusting me with that moment. You know what I mean? And I would be fine with that. It's when I think people get cagey and don't communicate and they're not kind of like,
well, insecure and they're scared. Yeah, exactly. And a bunch exactly. of different reasons. Trauma.
It makes it tough. It makes it kind of, you can feel quite shitty afterwards, you know?
How many V cards have you taken?
Like.
How fat's your deck? Deck.
But are you talking deck about people? Are you talking about people that haven't been with a guy before?
Wait, just in general, yeah, all
or like First time. Only one first time. And it was my first time too.
Healthy.
Yeah.
But guys, you've straight men.
I don't really understand the appeal of like, if someone's like, oh, this is so hot, I'm going to take their virginity. Like, mm-mm.
People are into that.
I'm not into that.
Yeah.
I'm not into that.
I was getting virgin chased for a while. And then also in the same breath, people I like would fall in love with would be afraid to take my virginity because then they'd think I'd be obsessed with them after.
That makes sense.
That's the worst. That's such bullshit logic.
Really?
Yes. That's crazy.
When you do it for the first time with someone, you're like, that's amazing.
Okay. Yeah. I've done it with somebody and technically, yeah, but they now live together. So maybe, but also in the same breath, like, no, I think sex can be deep, but it doesn't always need to be that deep.
Mm. Right. No, I agree with you, but I just think that, I do think that you probably fell in love with the first person that you had sex with.
No, and well, no, I didn't because I was into them before we had sex.
Right. For a day.
Well, okay, known for a few days. Relax. But the flip side to that is like I was in love with somebody and with somebody, and or in a situation with somebody, and it was a deep emotional relationship and it was physical up to a certain point, but they wouldn't start fucking me like until maybe it's a little dirty, but they wouldn't start fucking me until I lost my virginity.
They wanted you to lose your virginity to someone else before they started having sex?
Yeah.
Wow. Can you say that on Amazon?
Yeah, we're fine.
Can I ask a question?
Shout out to Amazon.
Did they come knocking on the door after you lost it? Did they
no,
come?
No comment.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah. That would be crazy.
Broke my mic.
I can kind of...
yeah. Fucking chances are that. Shit. Keep going.
I don't remember what I was going to say. I got distracted.
There's a lot. I have a whole album to talk about with you.
Okay, let's do that.
The saxophone on How to Stay With You is really fucking awesome.
It's nice.
Is that a saxophone?
Yeah.
Like a real saxophone?
Yeah, it's real. And it was a beautiful day in the studio. It's so nice to get like real instruments in, you know, it just like changes the whole feel. And I think a lot of the album ended up sounding the way that it did because Oscar Gores, who I work with, him and I went to London to work and the studio, what are you going to do?
My mic broke. This is the first time this shit's ever happened.
Do you want to fix it?
No, it's fine. I'm going to hold that.
Okay. We went to this studio in London and just by chance, the room that they had booked us had this like massive live room with all of these instruments. And we just kind of like tinkered. It was just the two of us in this like massive, massive studio. And I think it ended up shaping the kind of like sonic palette of the album. We thought we were going in there just to like, track, we were like, oh, we really just need a laptop and a mic, but they gave us all of this stuff and all of a sudden there's like timpani on the album and a real massive organ and like saxophone and all of these elements that I think it made the album so much richer.
Is that some of the biggest sonic differences between Blue Neighborhood and Bloom and what we're getting right now?
Nah, I think the biggest sonic difference is confidence. Like I just feel like as a songwriter I know so much more what I want to say and when something feels right and how to get from point A to point B. And like, you know, it's really cool. For me, it feels like, imagine you're like a chef or you're a home cook, right? And you get this idea of like, you have to use recipes. And then to be able to get this idea of something that you want to kind of create and then just inherently knowing how to do it, that like how to actually execute it. That moment is really, really cool because you feel totally creatively like fulfilled and free and there's like not really any limitations. And so I feel like this album, that's kind of the way that I felt throughout most of the songwriting was I was like, okay, this feeling that I want to capture, I think I know how to get there, you know? So the album really is, it's just like very accurately what I wanted to make, which is awesome.
Are you starting with stories you want to tell? Or are you starting with production and then writing to that production?
It sounds lame, but so sometimes it's stories that I want to tell. Like there was a couple of songs where I was like, I know that I need to write this story. But really most of the time it's like feeling, you know, I'll build a playlist when I'm starting to make a new album of feelings that I want to capture. It's not necessarily that I want to reference the production at all on these other songs by other artists. It's just that the way that the song makes me feel, that's what I want to try and capture, you know?
But those feelings are attached to your reality, obviously.
Mm.
a song like Silly, is that a song that you know, you a story you want to tell, or is that something that just comes from a feeling? What is that?
So that one was a feeling. It started with a feeling. It was like, I wanted something. We had all this like warm, sexy stuff on the album, and I wanted something that felt kind of like icy and cool and like super drum heavy. And so that was the starting point for it. And then I started singing, and I was singing in falsetto, and it felt just like, it's this really like, kind of reminded me of like Kylie Minogue or something like that. It just felt very thin and cool. And then the story on that one kind of surprised me, because the story came second, and it's really about, it's sort of like the sister to another song on the album called Still Got It, which is like very obviously about, you know, I bumped into my ex-boyfriend, and I sort of just like realized that he still had all of the things that made me fall in love with him in the first place. And, you know, kind of reconciling with that. And I wrote Still Got It ages ago. And then I wrote Silly quite late. And the story came back again, where I was like, damn, I'm so silly like that. Like 1, 2, 3, I'm a love junkie like that. You know, it's like, oh fuck. I just like fell right back into it. You know what I mean?
Still got it, yo. What do you still have? I mean, but also like, it was giving like you changing for someone, or being down to change for someone.
Yeah, I mean, I think really it was just like, just
getting used to being alone.
Mm.
But babe, a house don't mean a home.
Yeah, there's a lyric that comes after that. That's one of my favorite lyrics.
I still got it bad.
Well, no, there's this thing where it's like, I got a place back in Australia. It's different than you'd remember. I think you'd like it though. And really what it was is I was just writing this. I wrote this like paragraph in my phone, and it wasn't lyrics. It was just like, you know, exactly. It was like writing a journal entry. And then I worked it to make it fit to the song. But yeah, it's just that feeling of like, you know, there's this lyric where it's like, saw you at a party, said hello like an old colleague. And, you know, just like that total disconnect. But then you see them and you're like, oh my God, like it's all of the history and everything is there. And on top of it, they are still, I just like kind of understood. I empathized with myself from the past, where I was like, oh, I get why you fell in love with this person. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of my favorite songs on the album for sure.
That empathy and kindness for yourself helps in moving forward and healing.
Mm. Yeah, it was also a long time ago when I wrote it, but it's still tough to listen to that one for me. Yeah, I'm like nervous to play that one on tour. I feel like that's gonna be hard a little bit.
No, because in that moment, like, how do you not think what he's doing, what he's up to, what's going on?
Yeah, I guess you just do and deal with it a little bit. Yeah.
How do you deal?
Well, I mean, like, I'm happy for him, whatever he's up to. I'm really happy for him.
I can hear that.
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
Oh, yeah, no, I am. Genuinely, I am.
What are you thinking?
Where'd the Bag Raiders sample come from?
Bag Raiders. That's where it came from.
Why? Well,
No, it. Sorry, that was a dick move.
No, I like that.
The record he's referring to has Got Me Started.
Right. We were in the studio and we had written most of the song, and then there was this empty post chorus, and I just started to sing that little hook, which is obviously this like iconic synth line. And so I was kind of laughing like when I did it. I was like, obviously that's not going to happen. But they're Australian and I'm Australian. Yeah. And so I texted a fellow Australian and I was like, do you know them? And he was like, of course, because we all know each other down there. And literally within like 20 minutes, I get this file and I clicked it, and it was the isolated stem, just that iconic synth line. And so we put it in, but that doesn't mean that it's like approved, you know? And I sat on that song for like 2 years. It was one of the first songs that I wrote for the album, and it was just always, I was obsessed with it from day one, and I still am. And finally, when it came time to like, you know, square away all like the legal stuff and, you know, get the approval, hopefully. First of all, I was like, I don't know what we're going to do if this doesn't work out, because it's so perfect. And like, it, you know, it's just like part of the song now. But they were like, look, we have never approved this before for anyone else. Like, you know, and we've had thousands of requests for this song, but we're going to give it to you.
Wow.
And I was like, damn, it pays to be Australian.
Yeah.
You should try it.
Every time, you know, my boyfriend's from Adelaide.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Now I'm really excited about this. You're dating an Australian guy?
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, yeah, he's great.
He's from Adelaide. Wow.
Adelaide.
Yeah. Cool.
Maybe you do know him.
Maybe I do. Does he work in music?
No. No. I'm not doing that.
Okay. I probably don't know him.
No.
But I would be excited to meet him.
I look forward to introducing you. We can hang out.
Yeah. Cool.
Troy doesn't hang out with me really though.
No, but now maybe I will because you're dating an Australian. No, I'm just kidding. No, because
an Australian.
I'm having this like vision of you and him like spending summer in Australia.
That's the goal.
Which is what I do.
I want to be there. I've never been, but I look at it obsessively. I'm obsessed with culture. I'm about to be on Kiss Sydney in Melbourne.
Really?
Yeah.
This show?
Yeah. Well, a little different version of this show, but yeah. After cool. Mitch and before Kyle and Jackie.
Wow. Epic.
Yeah. I love Australia. I love Australian people.
Yeah.
They're great people. I mean,
you do. You really do.
I really do. This is not the first Australian I dated. The last one was Kiwi and then lived in Australia for most of the
time. I love people from New Zealand. To me, like, just amazing.
What do you like about them?
They're really fucking funny. Yeah, really, really funny.
Intense.
Really? Yeah. I've never dated a Kiwi.
Bless up.
Yeah.
Get out there. Start looking.
Yeah.
You really haven't dated a Kiwi? You've never even hooked up with one?
I'm sure I have. Oh, no, I have. Yeah, I have.
I would assume.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere. In my room. What language are you speaking?
It's not me. It's Spanish.
Oh, it is Spanish. Yeah. We were debating either Spanish or French.
No, it's Spanish.
Who's speaking it?
Guerta Rica de la Fuente. I met him in Paris and he's like so cool. And I met him and his boyfriend and they're just like, I was just obsessed with them. I thought that they were both really, really cool. And I had no idea like what he did or anything like that. And then when I got home and I was looking on his Instagram and it turns out he's the most amazing musician. And we ended up... like spur of the moment, he flew to London 2 days later and we wrote a song together.
You just met him randomly?
I met him at a dinner in Paris, yeah.
And you ended up did he do this song with you?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It was like, let's see what happens. Because we had hit it off so much as friends that we were like, we should try write music together.
Is that, I mean, a lot of your collaborators are friends of yours. Like, and they have been forever. Like Leland, just one of the people that come top of mind.
Yeah.
That has to be one of the most important criteria, yes?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I don't know, you're doing something very intimate together. So it's like, it helps a lot if you just like the person, you know? I don't think I've ever written a song with someone that I don't like. That would be weird.
Yeah.
Like, that just doesn't sound fun. Like, why would I do that?
Why would you share? Why would you be open?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
There's some different languages on What's the Time Where You Are too, right?
Yeah, so that was me posting on Instagram. Like, I'm obsessed with this idea of pop music bringing the world together. Like, I think it was...
It does.
Yeah, totally. I think also you have to consider that some of this album was sort of born in, like, lockdown. And so there was this deep, deep, deep desire for... Like, some of it was fantasy as well, where it's like... travel and meeting people and whatever. I ended up doing all of those things, but there was moments where it was just a pure fantasy of something that I wished could happen, you know, or like going to a concert in, you know, Spain or something like that just sounded like an absolute dream. And so anyways, I wrote What's the Time and I asked people on my Instagram to send in voice notes of them saying, last night was fucking crazy. And they did. In all different languages, in all different accents, and we put some of them in the song. But it was a long time ago. And then again, when it came down to like the legal side of it, because that's like, you know, they're a performer on the song. And so I had to go back and find all of the people, all of the voices that I used and message them. Be like, hey, just want to let you know, I really would love for you to be on my album, like your voice to be on my album. Is that okay? Like, what's your email? And then it would all got sorted out. But
worth it. Like, it gives texture and context to the record.
Yeah. No, and also I just like, you know, for me, something to give each other as a concept is global. And it's like, I'm obsessed with the idea of people from all around the world hearing this music and feeling connected through these songs. And then like coming to a show and meeting friends. It's really common. And it's like my favorite thing that I'll meet two people on the street or whatever. And they're like, we met at your show in 2016 and we're like best friends. That's the coolest thing ever. And I think that like, for me over the years, my show has become less about like my show and more about this like community and this feeling that's in the air. And everyone, like the audience is giving me so much. I'm trying to give them a great show. They're meeting each other and, you know, having this beautiful time together. and it's global. And so I just wanted to kind of like, I wanted you to be able to feel that when you listen to the music. And then also in the video, it's like, Rush, we went to Berlin, Got Me Started, we went to Bangkok, One of Your Girls, I'm Going to New York. And it's like, no, this is for everyone. You know what I mean?
It's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
And I think people forget that, like, we live in a more global community today than we've ever lived in one before.
Yeah. Like, and how special is that?
Yes. You know, we're all more the same than we are different. And mm-hmm. we all have 1,000 different ways to communicate, and music being the most centralized one.
Yep. Totally.
That's really important.
I mean, yeah. Rush took over the entire world instantly.
Slay.
Did you ever expect that, or did that surprise you?
No, it surprised me because I don't know. I'm really used to sort of my, like, just putting stuff out to my audience. Like, I've been doing that since I was 12. And so then for something to go, like, way wider than that, it was a slay. It was fun. It was cool.
And you've had hits before, but this one took off in a different way. I also think queer culture has a different place in mainstream culture today.
Maybe, yeah.
Than it did when Bloom and Blue Neighborhood were relevant and coming out.
Mm.
I think you ushered in something different. I think a lot of artists ushered in where we're at today and where we're going. But
yeah,
I think it was all different. And also the music video is incredibly aesthetically beautiful.
Thank you.
I watched it 300 times.
Yeah, the choreography.
I'm going to show you the Got Me Started video after this.
Yeah, please.
When we're done, I'm really excited for you to see it.
You got any chubby people in that video?
Yeah.
You didn't call me. Why the fuck? You could have called me.
You wanted to be in the video?
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
You should have told me that.
I mean, you know, we don't exchange phone numbers.
Oh, right.
We don't even follow each other on Instagram.
Do I not follow you
on Instagram? No, we have a very unique relationship, Troy.
Is this you asking for a follow?
No. I'm not asking for right. a follow. I'm just acknowledging the truth and the facts. Is that,
But okay,
we've known each other for 16 years, the last I checked.
Do I, am I following, like, the show, or am I following you?
Not that you're following either one. It's okay. It's fine. Your sister's a fan of our show, and that's all that matters to me.
Which should I follow? Both, probably, right?
Is the answer. It's literally, this is a personal decision. I don't want to get between you and your God. Baruch Hashem.
But, like, I want to see, like, of course, I love this show, and I'm...
Do you know what Baruch Hashem means?
Yeah, of course. Thank God.
Yeah, just testing you.
Are you Jewish?
Keep going.
Are you?
I'm not going to reveal if I'm a member of the tribe or not. We don't even follow each other on fucking Instagram.
Well,
I'm
just gonna exploit this one. Keep going. What are you
when
say?
I'm saying when I do follow you on Instagram, which will be after this interview, I want to know. I want to, like, see your Instagram stories from your everyday life. I don't just want to see promo.
Oh, you should follow then just me.
Okay.
Yeah, not the show. You want to see my
sorry. I will follow the show.
No,
as
you
well.
Don't need to be. But okay, you again, real life content is coming from me. But again. You don't need to follow either one of us.
No, but I want to. I've known you for 16 years. You're my friend.
It's only taken 16 years.
Yeah.
This is... You have two of my favorite albums of all time. Really. Blue Neighborhood is one of the greatest albums, in my opinion, ever. It really shaped my life and gave me new meaning and understanding, and it's fucking incredible. Bloom is great. But this is on another level. Like, it really is great. It moves at a different pace. It hits different. Do you feel like... I don't know. You were able to tell the story you want to tell, but is it wrong to say it? Like, it kind of lacks ballads? Like, it lacks
some. There's two really, like, weighty ballads in the middle of the album.
But why did I not, when I'm listening to them, why did they not feel like ballads to me?
Still Got It and Can't Go Back, Baby.
I've listened to them.
Yeah.
A bunch, but like. I don't know. I don't know why they didn't hit like a ballad to me.
Fair enough.
But it doesn't hit like Blue Neighborhood hits.
Right.
That shit like fucking...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, also I think in general I was like sadder than...
You are today.
Yeah. So I would say across the board it's less sad. Yeah. But then I do think that like Still Got It, for example, I think that is... And Can't Go Back, Baby... I've had that moment as a songwriter very, very few times. Like, I think it happened on Good Side, on Bloom. To me, that is a feeling of like, I know this sounds so corny, but it's like magic or something where the song writes itself. You're like not really, you know, you just totally like surrender to the process. And it's the biggest relief. I can't even tell you how good that feels when you've got all of this built up emotion and then you write a song that reads and feels and sounds like what you're going through and just kind of captures everything. Cause it's like human emotion is so complex and layered and nuanced. And it's like to try and get all of that out is really difficult. And then when it just happens, it's like, I can't even explain how proud I am of that song and those moments. It's like, it really, really captures exactly how it feels.
Are you equating this to like, you know, like Chris Martin tells us like, it's like the universe is just giving him something from like, it, like you do, you, it's like subconsciously coming through you and being written. Like you can't even really quantify where it's coming from. Like RM said the same thing.
It's weird because it's both that feeling where you're like, oh, this is magic and this is just happening through me. But also it's the moment where you feel the most honest and the most like in tune with yourself. You know what I mean?
And Still Got It and Can't Go Back are those two songs.
Yeah, I would say so.
By the way, all of Troy's music is waiting for you on Amazon Music. There's a link in the description below. You can listen to all of it, including this brand new album. You can also probably buy the Glory Hole edition of vinyl on Amazon.
Yep.
Sick.
Wait, you can buy it on Amazon?
I would think so. I mean, we sell that type of shit. I'll find out and clarify.
Do we know what size a Glory Hole is normally?
This is a 7-incher.
Yeah.
7-inch.
No, but the vinyl is 7 inches. So the middle part is probably not 7 inches.
Yeah, I would hope that'd be a really big old gaping hole.
Might not be big enough.
Holy shit.
Isn't that a question you were asking?
Yeah, we had to figure it out for the for the music video shot. We had to figure out what size they normally were. And then I think we had to make it a bit bigger because I wanted to be able to see my face through it, you know, to make it better for the video. But there was definitely some like research that went into that.
Got it.
Yeah.
I've actually never seen a glory hole.
Have you?
Yeah, but it was, like, it was like patched up. Like I was in West Hollywood and they were like, you know, whoever, I was just going to pee, honest to God. And I saw it and I was like, oh, lol, like the poor building manager of this place is having to patch that thing up all the time, you know, and someone's going in and making a new one. It's like when they have to close the steam room at that gym in West Hollywood because they're like, guys, you need to like calm down. Like this can't keep happening.
It's gross.
Yeah, crazy.
But seriously, we're going to put a link in the description below. Yes, to listen to all the music on Amazon Music, but I do know that we're selling a lot of physical copies and stuff. So we'll put a link in there too because everybody wants to, if they can, grab that Glory Hole edition, that Glory Hole vinyl. Well, there's this photo of you. You look incredible. Is this you though? Or is this somebody else? Correct me if I'm wrong. Oh, you just showed up on my went away. Hold on. Is this you?
Oh, yeah, that's me.
Ah, you look real good.
Thank you. It was actually old, that photo, though.
Let me see.
Fucking incredible.
It was from the summer.
Damn.
So I was, like, pretty tanned.
That's the only difference? Is the tan?
I think so, yeah.
You look great.
Thank you.
Who was this sent to originally?
I don't remember. Yeah. Unfortunately. Sometimes, I mean, I don't always send.
Yeah, just for your own personal
collection. Just like, what if you want to just take a picture of yourself?
No, you're right.
You don't do that?
No.
Really?
I don't look like you.
Stop.
That's true.
You should take photos of yourself.
I don't think my phone can handle those types of fucking memories.
I reckon.
I don't know if like,
it's fun.
Yeah, well, like that, like unclosed? No, the last thing I need is like physical proof of that existing on my phone.
Stop.
That's true.
You're being nasty to yourself.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
You should
do it when you get home.
I don't know.
Send it to your boyfriend.
No, he looks great. He's, you know, he looks amazing. He thinks I look great. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
He can just look at it in person. No need for a photo.
Okay. Whatever you want.
Maybe I'll get there one day.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What would you do if Vinny Hacker slid in your DMs?
I'd be really, really happy about that.
I just saw you posted.
Yeah. I think he's awesome.
Have you met him?
I like have seen him at things, but no, we've never met.
You won't talk to him?
No.
Should we FaceTime and see if he's
around?
Don't. Danny says yes.
Don't.
You sure?
Don't do it. Please don't do it. Actually, please. Okay. I'm begging you.
So you're nervous about a FaceTime, but you'll post him on your TikTok, a full montage of
shirtless? Yeah, because like, that's just me being dumb. Like, actually conversing with him right now, like, that's so embarrassing. Like, what would you even say? Like, Troy's here.
Yeah, I wanted to introduce you to my friend of 16 years who doesn't follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, but like, why do you want to introduce me? You know what I mean? Like,
Maybe he saw your TikTok. He also makes music. Maybe you guys can collaborate.
Yeah, let's just leave it for now.
He has a record about Viagra.
He does?
Yeah.
Sickening.
I'll send it to you.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he's awesome.
No, he's amazing. Great guy. Like one of the really good person.
Yeah.
Would introduce whenever you want.
Thank you. I will keep that in mind. Not now. Let me at least like, well, I mean, I just want to
prepare the other
Yeah, way. Like, I don't know. Let me go like put some water in my hair or something before we do that. I'm not doing that, but if I was to, I would want to put some water in my hair.
What else are you thinking?
Two quick things. One, how's Nash? I love that you adopted a pit bull. That's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, he's a legend. I woke up with him this morning. He's just the world's sweetest guy. He's awesome. Yeah.
That's
like,
good.
What a joy. You know what I mean? I think just like being able to come back to LA, which can be a really hectic place work-wise and stuff. Like my favorite kind of weekend is where I just hang out with him. Mm-hmm. We go to CVS, we go to the park. My favorite thing to do is take him to CVS and then I let him pick a toy, like, you know, in the dog aisle, whatever he like sniffs. I'm like, you want it?
And why'd you pick a pit bull?
I grew up with Staffies. Like, which are like small pit bulls essentially from, I think that's like American pit bull, like American Staffies. And then there's British Staffies, which is what I grew up with. And so for me, I've always just loved them. I know that they're like super, super, super in love with humans. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's a pit bull and he curls up and like, I hug him. Like, you know what I mean? We like spoon. so he's just, yeah, he's a little sweetie.
And you rescued him from one of my friend's rescues called Wags and Walks, and we'll put a link in the description below if you happen to be looking for your forever friend.
Yeah. Sometimes I go on their Instagram and scroll back and find his, like, first photo, the photo that we saw, and it's so cute.
That we saw.
Like, the photo.
You just said we.
Yeah, yeah. I got him with my ex-boyfriend.
Okay. Yeah. But he's yours now, no?
No. We share him.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Whoa. We glossed over that one. You share a kid.
Divorced dog dads.
Custody.
So you have to see him.
No.
What do you just like, you leave the dog and then you
just like put the dog outside, close the door.
Yeah, run away.
And then, yeah. No. We have our ways of just like getting the dog back and forth, but it's all good. Like we're not, everything's fine. Like it's just that, you know, often like I'll go away or something like that. So then he'll come get the dog and whatever.
Yeah. Healthy.
I think it's actually really good because I travel a lot. So it's like, I know that when I'm not with Nash, he's with someone that he equally loves so much, you know?
Co-parenting.
Yeah.
You do it for the kids, not for you.
Yeah.
It's called selfless love.
Yep.
Let me ask one more question. Hopefully you'll answer this, but I don't think you will. Okay. When a Vanity Fair asked you, are you a better actor than this person? And you tensed up.
I'm not answering this question.
Who do you think they were going to show you?
I'm not answering this question. Sorry, I'm not answering it. Yeah, I'm not answering that. That's all I'm gonna say.
You're a great actor.
Thank you.
Big fan of your work in X-Men. I haven't seen The Idol. I'm not gonna fucking lie to you.
That's fine. I can't talk about it anyway because I'm on strike.
That's right. Yeah.
Can you answer this question? Because it's a very general question. What's it like being a part of a project that's heavily discussed and you're a part of it?
I think I learned a lot from the whole experience. Basically, I'm just like, I would say my takeaway is that I'm just way less scared of people talking about me on the internet because I was having such a good time that whole time. So I'm like, okay, this is kind of sick.
Yeah.
So that has been really nice to feel like it's super chill. Everything's really chill. I learned because I was really scared at first that this is like before... I guess I can't really talk about this, but I don't know. I was just nervous about how I was going to feel if ever I was a part of something where people were talking about it so much. And now that I've kind of experienced it, I'm really relaxed about it. I feel chill. Yeah.
Now you can do literally almost anything.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick.
No, I think genuinely, like, it made me feel comfortable, more comfortable with, like, taking up space. You know what I mean? I think, like, naturally in myself, I'm like a little bit more reserved as a person. And like, I'm always been okay with not being reserved when I'm like on stage or something like that, but it almost feels like a different person. It's warranted, you know, people have like paid to see that. So it makes sense. But like, if I'm at a party or something like that, I'm definitely like in a hoodie kind of, you know, just like wanting to just be chill with my friends. and if like they start playing my music, I go to the bathroom or something like that. Like I don't crave that attention in my real life. And then to kind of be getting so much attention and it, you know, all I needed to do was like put away my phone and I realized that I was still actually fine. Now I'm like less scared. Like, I don't know. It makes me want to like wear some crazy shit to a red carpet or something like that. Cause like, who cares?
Do it. If you feel it, do it.
Yeah.
Shit's different.
Yeah.
It's a new level of comfort and confidence.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
And an understanding of who you are in the larger zeitgeist, I think.
No, and also just accepting that like you are going to annoy people. You know what I mean? Like, I think, I don't know. If I wasn't me, maybe I would be annoyed by me. I don't know. And that's okay, you know?
But for every person that may be annoyed by you, there's literally maybe 20 fucking people who have had their lives changed or impacted for the better or feel understood by the music you put out or have any sort of positive response to it that is, could be physical, emotional, whatever.
Totally, and I'm proud of what I'm doing. So, you know.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly.
How many songs did you make for this album originally that you had to narrow it down to this?
I have no idea, but a lot because we wrote it over a really long period of time. And I always knew that I wanted a 10-track album. So
why 10?
I think it's a perfect album length.
So do I.
Yeah.
It really was perfect.
Nice. Thank you.
And was it like a 40-minute listening or 35
I'm minutes? Also scarred from like when I was first making music and you have to make the deluxe version with like two tracks and then you make the fucking, whatever, I'm not going to name specific outlets, but you have to make that version and then this version.
And you got that. 22 songs
and
on
all of a
album.
Sudden this like random demo from like 2 years ago, they're like, should we put that on there? And I'm like, fine, sure. So you end up like with music out there that you're not super, it doesn't, you know, it's not like the sort of, it doesn't fit the mission statement of what you were trying to achieve in the first place. So I think 10 tracks, then with some wiggle room where like, we didn't actually do it this time with extra music, but like if I'm on tour and I want to introduce something fresh, I've got a couple songs that I'm like in love with that aren't on the album.
Where will they go?
I don't know, who knows? But it's fun to have them.
That is, yeah, because they can end up anywhere. Maybe a movie.
Yeah, exactly. Give them to someone else.
Would you do that?
Yeah, I've done that before.
What songs of yours have you sold and given to somebody?
Not sold, or is it but like
let somebody cut and take over.
I have written for BTS.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's happened a couple times, I think.
That BTS record, was that a song that was meant for you originally?
I wrote it for me, yeah. Yeah. And then it was actually a really long period of time before they cut it, and I was just like, obviously, over the moon.
They're the best.
Yeah.
Good Rush remix, too. Well done.
Thank you.
Hey, you've had a really good rollout. You should be very proud.
Thank you so much. We're just getting started.
Fuck yeah, you are. Damn. All yeah. The music is waiting for you. Link in the description below. Everything Troy's put out there, his whole discography, whole catalog, is on Amazon Music. We'll get the link for the Glory Hole vinyl. Get you a link if you want to adopt a dog.
Get me the link of the person giving you a hickey, the video of that.
I'll get you that one.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You want straight guy giving me hickey, not boyfriend giving me hickeys.
Either is fine.
Okay, we'll send you both.
Are they both online? Why is there so many videos of you getting hickeys
the
on
only
the
one
internet?
Could be online.
Okay.
Yeah. The other one was done in private.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, I'll look through the archives. Final thoughts?
I'm just excited to see this on tour, this new album on tour. I assume that's coming eventually.
Yeah, coming eventually. I don't actually know yet, like when, but it's definitely... You know, when we wrote it, that was kind of like why we wrote the album was...
You got to go on tour.
Yeah, I want to try and create that like sense of community. And again, I miss it.
You got a lot of songs to pick from now.
Yeah.
Albums.
Yeah. Long show.
Sick.
Yeah.
You have a great... Like this. How does that make you feel when you look back at all the albums in your discography and you can build a set list that could span hours if you wanted it to?
I think like it really just feels the same as like reading a diary or something from when you were a kid. Like it's like, oh, I can hear it in every single element of it. Like the production, the lyric, the melody. I'm like, I can hear myself when I was like 17 or however old I was when I was making that music. And it's just like, I don't know, it's kind of scary to look back on because now I'm obviously looking back on it as like a very different person with very different life experience than I was then. And so... It's just really interesting to listen back to. You're like, oh, you had no idea about this yet. Or, you know, like.
Do any of those songs take on new meaning now that like they didn't have before?
I don't think so. I think if anything, maybe there's something really pure and sweet about like how naive some of them are. You know what I mean? So yeah, like I would maybe listen and be like, oh wow, I used to feel like that, you know?
That's really special.
Yeah.
Could be triggering, but also.
No, but like I imagine it, the feeling would be very, very similar to if you were to go listen to your own show from like a long time ago and you're just like, wow, I used to be just a different person.
Wouldn't listen.
Yeah.
Ironically.
Same. I don't listen to my old music, you know, if
tour. You have to perform it.
Yeah, maybe for tour. But then at that point, it'll be fun, I think, because it's kind of just like a lull. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to sing Youth again, but like.
No.
But
no.
Like, there are some songs up to the neighborhood that I would love to sing again.
Like what?
Like Ease.
Okay.
I'd love to sing that song again.
Giddy Up.
You're not going to perform Youth?
Do I have to?
I mean, I think it would make your fans happy.
I'll think about it.
Leave your thoughts in the comment section below.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Not convinced. Something to give each other. Mm-hmm. What is that something?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, it could be anything. It's many, many different things. I just realized that, yeah, everyone does have something. And I think that that's kind of like the whole point. It doesn't matter what the thing is. It's just like about the connection.
Listen to the album, Something to Give Each Other, understand the story, and enjoy it. There's a link in the description below. Final thoughts?
No.
Troye Sivan.
Thank you. Sometimes after interviews, I'm like, hey, can we ask them to cut this? I have no recollection already of anything that I've said.
Sick. Well, so, by the way,
so it's
said,
all going up, whatever
I said
it is.
The worst shit. Way worse.
Yeah, you said some crazy shit. I remember that. Yeah. But I'm fine, I think.
Yeah. I'm living very freely for the first time in 30 years. You know, I used to always talk about my relationships and stuff like on the real radio when we were on it, but I would keep it unisex. So I'd like build this sort of story and hype or like this mystery, you know, and people would call in and just assume the gender. And now, at the ripe old age of 30, I don't know. I'm like actually like, you know, figuring it out.
Right.
Having sex for like the first time in my life.
Yeah.
God shoes.
And talking about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Being honest about it.
Yeah, which I love. Yeah. I respect.
And like my focus over the last like week and a half, 2 weeks has been getting really good at it.
Wow.
Sex. Like I'm going to be fucking amazing at it.
Wow.
Yeah. Relax.
I'm relaxed. I'm good.
You don't look relaxed.
Something to give each other. I'm just trying to perfect my gift.
Yes, right. You are.
Yeah.
Get it just right.
Happy for you.
All of Troy's music is waiting for you. Link in the description below. I really appreciate you.
Thank you guys so much.
If anyone needs to vomit, there's a trash bin right by the door. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
You're amazing. Troye Sivan, everybody.